When COVID-19 hit Pennsylvania in March, universities moved to shut down most in-person classes. State Impact Pennsylvania's Ann Danahy reports the coronavirus also put the brakes on some environmental research and changed the way other work is done.
Here, we're looking at three different grass mixtures. These are native perennial grasses. To your right, we have switchgrass and big bluestem.
Steph Herbstritt is working on a doctorate in agricultural and biological engineering at Penn State.
She's giving me a tour
of a university farm in Center County where researchers are studying how those grasses compare with each other and corn. They're looking at how good they are at catching runoff, improving water quality, and generating money for farmers who grow and harvest them.
Even when you're mowing these grasses annually in harvest, you still have those deep root systems that are there to hold in the soil and filter runoff coming downslope through the buffer. So they're really great, and they're beautiful.
Herbstritt can't bring her five-year-old son with her in the field anymore, but she says she's grateful she's been able to continue collecting water samples and other crucial data. Some research, especially on-campus lab work, did have to stop.
We have some long-running experiments that we actually had to shut down.
Tom Richard is director of the Institutes of Energy and the Environment at Penn State. Their bioengineering lab was closed for a few months. Other work has been continuing at the bare minimum. Richard is researching biomass energy systems, using not just manure, but cover crops to produce renewable natural gas.
Can create a new form of renewable energy, and at the same time help solve some of our challenges in agriculture with respect to nutrient management, with respect to odor, with respect to greenhouse gas emissions.
While his teams can do some lab work, farm visits are out.
It's much more complicated. For example, we are not having two people driving in the same car that don't live together.
This summer, Penn State began bringing graduate students back to campus and ramping up labs and research projects. That does not mean Sridhar Anandakrishnan, a professor in the Department of Geosciences and the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute, got to go to Greenland in July as planned.
My students and I were going to put out seismometers to measure the breakup of this glacier as it flows out into the ocean.
They couldn't get into their labs to get ready, and that, coupled with the risks of being in a remote area, led Anandakrishnan to cancel the trip. And rescheduling the trip is its own challenge.
Polar field work has a window of 2 or 3 months when you can work, and sort of May, June, July in the north and November, December, January in the south. And if you miss that, then you got to wait 12 months until the next cycle rolls around.
That's what's happening with research on the Thwaites Glacier in Antarctica. Anandakrishnan's team is studying sea level rise there as part of an international collaboration. But the National Science Foundation announced it was canceling most of that work. Now the data collection that's crucial for climate change modeling will have to wait another year.
If there's one glacier on the whole planet that can affect sea level around the globe in a measurable way in the next 50 to 100 years, it's this one glacier.
So the sooner they can collect the data, the faster it can be used in modeling what to expect and help make decisions.
Sound is basically hot air. So we're generating just like you have a hair dryer in your home.
Shashank Priya is a professor of material science and engineering at Penn State. That was a thermal generator coming back on after being shut down when the university closed its labs and offices in March. The technology could be used in football-sized power generators by soldiers in a battlefield who need electricity, or in a quiet generator for someone living off the grid.
Our goal is that, yeah, we can capture that lost heat and concentrate it into a thermal to electrical converter devices. Then we'll be able to generate electricity from this wasted resource.
Priya is also the university's associate vice president for research. He points to some of the positives that have come out of working remotely, even though hands-on experimental research had to be put on hold. Specifically, making use of Penn State's supercomputers.
But I think most of the community utilized this time in order to do some data mining and also use some computational softwares which are available depending upon the disciplines. There are different types of softwares, but utilize these softwares in order to do the design and modeling work.
And he says the pandemic is speeding up innovation. Research facilities are investing in instrumentation that can be controlled remotely. So if needed, lab work would be able to continue in the fall, even if the coronavirus brings a repeat of what happened in the spring. Faculty do say a hard-to-quantify loss from working remotely is the lack of spontaneous conversations and ideas. As Ananda Krishnan put it, there's no chatting with colleagues or grad students popping their head in your door. Instead, he said, first you have to ask yourself, is it worth it, before you call someone on the phone or fire up Zoom. I'm Ann Danahy, State Impact, Pennsylvania.